97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, happy Monday to you. Welcome in. Looks like a gorgeous start to the day out there. I'm sure the sunshine has burned off all that fog we were facing first thing this morning. If you were up early for your drive, you know that for sure. There was a little bit of that going on out there. We have been, of course, covering the breaking news from yesterday, the assassination attempt on Donald Trump, the second assassination attempt on Donald Trump. They caught a guy with a AK-47 outside of the fence at his Trump golf course down there, not far from Mar-a-Lago. And the guy's in custody this morning. And as we learn more about him, it's more and more amazing that he might not have already been on the radar of the authorities, right? Because this guy had a long criminal history. And he lived in Hawaii, of all places, but somehow made it down to Florida. He was anti-Israel. He was pro-Ukraine. He'd apparently been trying to draft fighters to Ukraine. We're finding out all kinds of stuff about him this morning, and we're hoping to get some reaction from Capitol Hill here shortly. So we'll let you know if we can get somebody on the phone up there and get some reaction to this whole thing. What a disaster. Just a complete disaster. I know the Secret Service saved him yesterday again. However, the fact that this person was allowed to get that close to him, given the threat level, is kind of mind-boggling. It's scary, really, in this country that we've come to this. And the mainstream media, the headline on CBS this morning was Donald Trump was the target of an alleged assassination attempt. There was nothing alleged about it. The gun is in the picture, propped up against the fence. I don't know what you have to do to convince the mainstream media in this country of how serious and shocking and historic this story is from yesterday. And they want to downplay it because they do not want it to politically help Donald Trump in this election cycle. What if there's a third one and it's successful? Like Eric Trump said yesterday, how many times does my dad have to get shot at before they take more steps to protect him? You can bet if it was Kamala Harris, the opposite already would have happened, for sure. All right, we're going to continue to cover that for you and this story locally of the business owner over at First Form and the supplement superstore who insulted any woman who's ever put on a uniform. Firefighters, police, you name it, he does not think you probably have any business doing your job. His words, not mine, and I'll let you listen to it right now in our top stories, Carl.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Every woman cop I've ever dealt with, every single one that I've ever been pulled over by, tried to make me feel like a bitch.
Wow. Yeah, that's Andy Frisella. We've invited him on to discuss this. We've not heard back from him yet. I'll let you know if that changes. But he has walked that back and since apologized. Not enough so far for local police officers.
The overall sentiment was anger, disgust. Some of these folks felt betrayed because they are big supporters of the company and, you know that they're large donors to the department. But the overall feeling was that they do not want any association with somebody who harbors those types of feelings.
Yeah, and they have cut ties with him at this point. Apparently, city and county police, I don't know how many others, may follow suit.
I probably took a bullet to the head because of the things that they say about me. They talk about democracy. I'm a threat to democracy. They're the threat.
Yeah, that's what they say. Their words have driven this threat and these threats now, plural, against former President Donald Trump with the second assassination attempt yesterday.
Let's not pretend that Donald Trump isn't exactly like Mussolini, exactly like Hitler. He is that guy.
Just another example of it. That is a Reverend Dr. Jackie Lewis, not unlike Democrat Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, who suggested yesterday that Donald Trump is a domestic terror threat. Not unlike Congressman Dan Goldman, who even went so far as to say Donald Trump must be eliminated.
It's just unquestionable at this point that that man cannot see public office again. He is not only unfit, he is destructive to our democracy, and he has to be eliminated.
eliminated. Now, Goldman later said he didn't mean that in the death sense. But what do you do when you got wackos like this Ruth guy walking around listening to his leaders tell him that somebody is going to mark the end of this country if they get elected? That's what you've been told for a couple of years now about Donald Trump. And now you got wackos coming out of the woodwork taking pot shots at him. Now, I don't know if he could have hit him or not, but had the Secret Service agent not noticed him there and Trump had moved closer, that would have been an easy shot with an AK or an AR or a 243 hunting rifle. I mean, you shoot deer at 100 yards all the time. Maybe further out than that, I mean, with different weapons. So this is a very real threat. The Secret Service has got to take it for real. So what did CNN do? Aaron Burnett, who is one of the anchors over there at CNN, had on a guy named Tim Clemente. Tim Clemente is a retired FBI counterterrorism agent. And she did not like, I don't think, what Tim Clemente had to say to her, that they've got to tone down the rhetoric. And that is exactly what he believes is leading to this stuff.
You know, Aaron, it's unprecedented in a civilized society. And I think we're becoming more and more uncivilized, sadly, with the political diatribes that are going on and the political indictments of either candidate. And sadly, the finger pointing at Trump has led to, the line about the bloodbath, talking about the auto industry being used as if he's going to create a bloody coup if he loses. That kind of verbiage is something you use in a third world country when you're talking about a dictator. And that sadly has led to, I think, these attempts on Trump's life. And
yeah. Did you see the statements from the White House? Mild. We're glad he's okay. Sorry that happened. Glad he's okay. No room for violence in America. And they'll go right back out on the campaign trail next week and refer to him as a threat to democracy. This is not going to end well, folks. If they end up killing him, there are going to be riots in the streets of America is what's going to happen. And as my friend Hans von Spakovsky pointed out this morning, if indeed that ever happens and they're successful in doing this, there are a large number of people on the other side of the aisle who will quietly celebrate that. Could you imagine being that afraid of one man? You know why? Because he will dismantle the deep state in this country. And that's what they're afraid of. And there are Republicans afraid of it, just like there are many, many on the left afraid of it. Because he doesn't owe anybody anything. He's not beholden to their special interests. So that has got to be what's driving this fear of Donald Trump becoming president again. Solely. It's not his policies. His policies were great. We all benefited from his policies. So we're going to get back to more on this here in a couple minutes, and I'll let you listen to a little bit from Andy Frisella, who has stated his own belief that female women should not become police officers, period. Now, he's walked that back a little bit. I'll let you listen to his apology coming up here in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned.
You know, I think my comments were generalized, and I think I need to clarify them a little bit. I'm fine with that. I had a couple women here in St. Louis that were upset with me that I know that are police officers, and, you know, they were like, Andy, I love you, dude, but what the f*** is this?
Right.
So, you know, we'll address it. And what I really should have said, and did I overgeneralize? Yeah, for sure. And I do that sometimes. That's the nature of how I speak, and, you know, I'm trying to get better about it. But what I really mean is that certain women shouldn't be police officers and certain men shouldn't be police officers. And if we're going to have women be police officers, they should be capable, they should be emotionally stable, they should be able to de-escalate situations, and they shouldn't take advantage of opportunities where men are, you know, emasculated because they're in a situation with a gun and a badge.
Just for the power.
And that goes for men too, okay? So it's not just a women thing, it's a men thing too.
I don't know, Andy. If you're apologizing for saying women should never be given a badge because all they do is emasculate men, then you can't apologize by saying, well, it just applies to some women. We only want the ones that are emotionally stable. Yeah, I'm not sure that's going to fly with a lot of the women out there. It was pointed out to me by another police officer this morning who texted me that I should also remember that our friends at the fire department, the firefighters, are also disgusted now with First Form and the supplement superstore. This story kind of blew up this weekend. Somebody texted this to me on Friday night. They picked up the podcast. And the comment was, let's make this guy famous. So I went and I listened to what Andy Frisella said, basically saying women should never be police officers because of a couple of negative interactions he had with women who he said tried their best to emasculate him. To make him, he's a big guy. Looks like a big weightlifter. I've never met him. He's got millions of followers on his social media, but he was not having any of this stuff that a female with a badge should be able to tell him what to do. I don't know. He got some other issues there. I think maybe there's some underlying issues there. This is how Channel 4 covered it this weekend. Here you go.
The overall sentiment was anger, disgust.
The comments immediately drew criticism from area police departments, including St. Louis City and St. Louis County.
The overall sentiment was anger, disgust. Some of these folks felt betrayed because they are big supporters of the company and, you know that they're large donors to the department. But the overall feeling was that they do not want any association with somebody who harbors those types of feelings.
The St. Louis County Police Officers Association wrote a letter calling out the comments made on the podcast. Both St. Louis City and County Police Chiefs said they would cut ties with the companies associated with Andy Frisella.
Yeah, and they did. They both put out statements saying them that they were going to be done with it. At this point, that they're not interested in doing any more business with them. You know, I don't know. I have never, to my knowledge, that I can remember, been pulled over by a female police officer. It's clearly happened to him a number of times. Somebody else reached out to me and said it's because he has a lot of very fast cars like Lamborghinis and stuff like that, and he appreciates stretching them out on our local highways.
Which is against the law.
Which, if you're speeding, is against the law and might draw the attention of an officer of the law, whether it's male or female. And he clearly does not like being pulled over or questioned about that. But that said, he has donated a lot of money to law enforcement over the years. And in his words, he thinks his body of work combined with his apologies should mean people should give him some grace for this. I don't know.
Sounds like a rich a-ho.
I had a female officer on this morning who wanted to remain anonymous. We'll call her Lisa. She was she listened to the apology, and she was not buying it. Here,
I don't feel that was an apology. He's talking about certain people shouldn't be police officers. Well, maybe there's certain people that shouldn't run a business either.
Whoo! Yeah, a lot of people are angry about this. I don't know that this is on par with the whole Bud Light escapade, but. My guess is it's going to hurt business over there for sure. And I mean, I've never used any of the products. I got to be honest with you. It's not intentional. I just have never been in one of the stores. And I did try their energy drink this weekend for the first time because they had a tent set up. First Form did over at the range this weekend because they do energy drinks and stuff like that. And they had a tent over there. He was not there, by the way. And I've invited him onto the show. If he wants to come on and try to explain this, I think I'd be more than happy to have Andy on as a guest. And I've reached out via email. We'll see what happens. Coming up next, we do have Tom Ackerman coming in, KMOX Sports Director. We'll get his take on maybe that nail biter by the Chiefs last night, game they probably didn't deserve to win, to be honest with you. We'll talk about that. And my friend Chad Pergram from Fox News is covering lawmaker reaction to the second shooting of Donald Trump. He's going to join me about 8:45. We'll be right back.
Go yourself. Is that clear?
Elon Musk, I'm having one of those days, folks. Can I just tell you that? First of all, my friend Kim St. Ange is taking the week off. So it's just me this week, right? Helping out, doing what we can, Carl Middleman. Mm-hmm. And then I told you a moment ago that in this segment, we would talk to Tom Ackerman of KMOX Sports, only to find out a few minutes ago that Tom is not in the building today. So that's okay, because, you know, Carl, here's the thing about it. I watched parts of the Mizzou game this weekend.
Ooh.
And I watched part of the Kansas City Chiefs game yesterday.
Both close games.
Just because, don't generally watch NFL games, but they were playing the Bengals. And I thought, well, you know, I used to be a Bengal fan. I'm now sort of a Chiefs fan since they're the only team we got left. And it's easy to root for a team that wins a lot. So I watched the Chiefs. And I got to tell you, man, if you're a Chiefs fan and you're celebrating today, I know that all that matters is the W, like the W in the win column. Mm-hmm. Like 10 years from now, nobody's going to remember that this was a one-point game that you should have lost. And I know that Butker kicked the winning field goal, turned around after he kicked it. Apparently, he was so certain it was going in. The guy's automatic. And it was great. I was glad that I was happy the Chiefs won. It was a close game. But they didn't deserve to win that game. They did not deserve to win that game. The Bengals pretty much had their way with them. I felt, anyway, I didn't feel like Mahomes was at his best. And if Tom Ackerman had been here, that is a point that I would have made to him. The penalties on that last series of plays that Kansas City ran were embarrassing. Just stupid penalties. And I'm sure the locker room was an interesting place to be after that game. Just dumb penalties. And then finally, the main reason the Chiefs got to kick a field goal is because of a pass interference call on the Bengals. And then they finally got in field goal range, and they ran two more plays with 3 seconds on the clock that kicked a field goal. Shouldn't have won.
And then Mizzou went from sixth to seventh, and Illinois is now in the top 25.
So Mizzou dropped?
One position. And now Texas is the number one team in the land.
Overall. Over Georgia?
Over Georgia and Ohio State.
Hmm. Georgia won, certainly,
they
right?
They did.
Yeah, because they were playing Kentucky.
Right.
And Kentucky's got a better football
and
team
Kentucky's
this year.
Kentucky's a basketball team.
Yeah, Kentucky's got a better football team these days, but not to Georgia or Alabama standards. So I knew that was going to be a loss for the Wildcats. Yeah, I watched the Mizzou game, too. And
they were losing for a long time.
I just got to tell you, Coach Drink earned a lot of respect this weekend, in my opinion. And here's why. So I watched this game. I played football in high school. Wasn't the star or anything. I was a lineman. I played a little defensive tackle and offensive guard or tackle. And what sports has become these days is for the people you have on your team who are stars, the biggest risk you have as a coach, I think, is pissing them off. Because with the transfer portal, they can just decide at the end of the season that they're going to go to Alabama or Georgia or some other program because they don't like the way you talked to them. It's completely taken the hard ass out of college football coaching, in my opinion. Now, what Luther Burden did during this game a couple of times should have gotten him benched, right? The unsportsmanlike calls were unnecessary. They were in a tight game. I mean, I know they were maybe up 10 points when he got these penalties, but of course they came back and they scored, Boston College did, and it was suddenly a 6-point game. And those two major penalties by Burden were just uncalled for. Jerking the guy's mouthpiece off and tossing it in the air and hitting the other guy in the head with a football. And I look over on the sideline and I see Coach Drinkwitz up in Burden's face screaming at him. And he earned a lot of my respect when that happened. Can I just tell you that? Because that's old school football. And he clearly didn't care that this guy is one of the biggest stars on his team as a receiver who's going to be in the NFL one of these days. And he let him have it. And good for him. Because that was a close, much closer game than it should have been. And there's no room in a season like this for stupid penalties like that. There's just not. And I was glad to see Coach Drink giving him hell.
And then City lost, and they are all but, there are still mathematically, and they'd have to win out and everybody else would have to lose out. But mathematically, they can still get in the playoffs. But losing on Saturday night basically eliminated.
Cardinals season is over after this next week, right? Pretty much.
They went up to Canada and lost all three games against the Blue Jays.
I know. I'm just saying, but they're... final game is like this coming weekend or something.
Yes, yeah,
something
they're like the final homestand is this week. They're back at Busch tonight.
All right.
And the Blues, Mark, they had prospect camp and won both of their games against Chicago and Minnesota.
All right, giving you hope for this season, Carl, that you're going to get to
those
blow
kids
the horn a little more.
Really
often.
Good. It's prospects, so some of these guys are a far way off, but some of them are ready to come up soon.
Good. All right.
It was a great time at Centene. You could have had free hockey if you would have gone up.
Glad to hear it. See that? If you just known. And you didn't get Tom Ackerman, but you got some sports talk there. How about that? All right, quick break here. We're going to get to Chad Pergram, who's up on covering this assassination angle from Capitol Hill, because there are a lot of congresspeople up there with some questions. And we're going to find out what those are coming up.
Does they have an agent that jumps one hole ahead of time to where the president was at? And he was able to spot this rifle barrel sticking out of the fence and immediately engage that individual, at which time the individual took off.
Yeah, that is the Palm Beach County Sheriff there yesterday talking about how, that this guy was a lot closer than they would have liked with a rifle like that and a scope on it. Although it's not clear if he got a shot off on the president or not. This will be a big focus among members of Congress this week. We got Chad Pergram up on Capitol Hill for Fox News this morning. Chad, how are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Boy, shocking news yesterday. Number one, historically shocking that we've had two assassination attempts on one candidate in the same political season. I don't know if that's ever happened in recent memory, has it?
Well, you did have something similar with President Ford back in the mid-70s. So there were two attempts in about 17, 18 days with him. So that's an even closer time range here. But the fact that this is happening, with increased frequency, it probably is an attest to the toxic political environment is, the volatility of that particular candidate. And just kind of where we are, and there's been a lot of questions here on Capitol Hill this morning about the Secret Service. House Speaker Mike Johnson was on our air this morning and said, he thinks that they should move the Secret Service out from the Department of Homeland Security. He said, I have no confidence in DHS, and a lot of Republicans don't have confidence in DHS because of the border and a number of things. They impeached Alejandro Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary, back in the winter, the House Republicans did. That might not change anything necessarily. Remember that the Secret Service used to be under the Treasury Department. Now, whether or not you move it back to Treasury or whatever, that all changed after 9/11. They said, we're going to create this new department, Homeland Security, so that we have better connections between agencies and things. It had been there since, the beginning. President Biden, just a few minutes ago.
Go yourself. Is that clear?
Elon Musk, I'm having one of those days, folks. Can I just tell you that? First of all, my friend Kim St. Ange is taking the week off. So it's just me this week, right? Helping out, doing what we can, Carl Middleman. Mm-hmm. And then I told you a moment ago that in this segment, we would talk to Tom Ackerman of Camel X Sports, only to find out a few minutes ago that Tom is not in the building today. So that's okay, because, Carl, here's the thing about it. I watched parts of the Mizzou game this weekend, and I watched part of the Kansas City Chiefs game yesterday.
Both close games.
Just because... don't generally watch NFL games, but they were playing the Bengals, and I thought, I used to be a Bengal fan. I'm now sort of a Chiefs fan since they're the only team we got left, and it's easy to root for a team that wins a lot. So I watched the Chiefs, and I got to tell you, man, if you're a Chiefs fan and you're celebrating today, I know that all that matters is the W, like the W in the win column. Mm-hmm. Like 10 years from now, nobody's going to remember that this was a one-point game that you should have lost. And I know that Butker kicked the winning field goal, turned around after he kicked it. Apparently, he was so certain it was going in. The guy's automatic. And it was great. I was glad that I was happy the Chiefs won. It was a close game. But they didn't deserve to win that game. They did not deserve to win that game. The Bengals pretty much had their way with them. I felt, anyway, I didn't feel like Mahomes was at his best. And if Tom Ackerman had been here, that is a point that I would have made to him. The penalties on that last series of plays that Kansas City ran were embarrassing, just stupid penalties. And I'm sure the locker room was an interesting place to be after that game. Just dumb penalties. And then finally, the main reason the Chiefs got to kick a field goal is because of a pass interference call on the Bengals. And then they finally got in field goal range, and they ran two more plays with 3 seconds on the clock that kicked a field goal. Shouldn't have won.
And then Mizzou went from 6th to 7th, and Illinois is now in the top 25.
So Mizzou dropped
one position. And now Texas is the number one team in the land.
Overall. Over Georgia?
Over Georgia and Ohio State.
The Georgia won, certainly,
they
right?
They did.
Yeah, because they were playing Kentucky.
Right.
And Kentucky's got a better football team this year.
Kentucky's a basketball team.
Yeah, Kentucky's got a better football team these days, but not to Georgia or Alabama standards. So I knew that was going to be a loss for the Wildcats. Yeah, I watched the Mizzou game, too. And
they were losing for a long time.
I just got to tell you, Coach Drink, he earned a lot of respect this weekend, in my opinion. And here's why. So I watched this game. I played football in high school. Wasn't the star or anything. I was a lineman. I played a little defensive tackle and offensive guard or tackle. And what sports has become these days is for the people you have on your team who are stars, the biggest risk you have as a coach, I think, is pissing them off. Because with the transfer portal, they can just decide at the end of the season that they're going to go to Alabama or Georgia or some other program because they don't like the way you talked to them. It's completely taken the hard ass out of college football coaching, in my opinion. Now, what Luther Burden did during this game a couple of times should have gotten him benched. Right? The unsportsmanlike calls were unnecessary. They were in a tight game. I mean, I know they were maybe up 10 points when he got these penalties, but of course, they came back and they scored, Boston College did, and it was suddenly a 6-point game. And those two major penalties by Burden were just uncalled for. Jerking the guy's mouthpiece off and tossing it in the air and hitting the other guy in the head with a football. And I look over on the sideline and I see Coach Drinkwitz up in Burden's face screaming at him. And he earned a lot of my respect when that happened. Can I just tell you that? Because that's old school football. And he clearly didn't care that this guy is one of the biggest stars on his team as a receiver who's going to be in the NFL one of these days, and he let him have it, and good for him, because that was a close, much closer game than it should have been, and there's no room in a season like this for stupid penalties like that. There's just not, and I was glad to see Coach Drink giving him hell.
And then City lost, and they are still mathematically, and they'd have to win out, and everybody else would have to lose out, but mathematically, they can still get in the playoffs. But losing on Saturday night basically eliminated them.
Cardinals season is over after this next week, right? Pretty much.
They went up to Canada and lost all three games against the Blue Jays.
I know. I'm just saying. But their final game is like this coming weekend or something?
Yes. Yeah,
something
the final homestand is this week. They're back at Busch tonight.
All right.
And the Blues, Mark, they had prospect camp and won both of their games against Chicago and Minnesota.
All right. Giving you hope for this season, Carl, that you're going to get to
those
blow the horn a little
really
more often.
Really good. It's prospects. So some of these guys are a far way off, but some of them are ready to come up soon.
Good. All right.
It was a great time at Centene. You could have had free hockey if you would have gone out.
Glad to hear it. See that? If you just known. And you didn't get Tom Ackerman, but you got some sports talk there. How about that? All right. Quick break here. We're going to get to Chad Pergram, who's up on covering this assassination angle from Capitol Hill, because there are a lot of congresspeople up there with some questions, and we're going to find out what those are coming up.
Does they have an agent that jumps one hole ahead of time to where the president was at, and he was able to spot this rifle barrel sticking out of the fence and immediately engage that individual, at which time the individual took off.
Yeah, that is the Palm Beach County Sheriff there yesterday talking about that this guy was a lot closer than they would have liked with a rifle like that and a scope on it. Although it's not clear if he got a shot off on the president or not. This will be a big focus among members of Congress this week. We got Chad Pergram up on Capitol Hill for Fox News this morning. Chad, how are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, shocking news yesterday. Number one, historically shocking that we've had two assassination attempts on one candidate in the same political season. I don't know if that's ever happened in recent memory, has it?
Well, you did have something similar with President Ford back in the mid-70s. So there were two attempts in about 17, 18 days with him. So that's an even closer time range here. But the fact that this is happening, with increased frequency, it probably is an attest to the toxic political environment is, the volatility of that particular candidate. And just kind of where we are, and there's been a lot of questions here on Capitol Hill this morning about the Secret Service. House Speaker Mike Johnson was on our air this morning and said, he thinks that they should move the Secret Service out from the Department of Homeland Security. He said, I have no confidence in DHS, and a lot of Republicans don't have confidence in DHS because of the border and a number of things. They impeached Alejandro Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary, back in the winter, the House Republicans did. That might not change anything necessarily. Remember that the Secret Service used to be under the Treasury Department. Now, whether or not you move it back to Treasury or whatever, that all changed after 9/11. They said, we're going to create this new department, Homeland Security, so that we have better connections between agencies and things. It had been there since, the beginning. President Biden just a few minutes ago said that he thought that Congress should respond to what the Secret Service says and what they need. He says that's going to be very important. So, again, they have to fund the government here by the end of the month. Are you going to see increased money for the Secret Service and increased direction about how they handle this particular candidate? That's going to be something to watch.
So, Chad, has that been an issue? I mean, if it is, I'm not aware of it. Has the Secret Service suggested that their budget's been cut or that they don't have the manpower to get the job done?
Not necessarily, but what people have said is that they need to look maybe at former President Trump a little bit differently. He certainly got Secret Service protection as a former president. He got more protection after the attempt on his life in Pennsylvania. He got probably increased protection. There's different, tiers of this once he became officially the Republican nominee. But, we've not had many people who have been, in the modern era who've been like him. Certainly somebody who's running again after they lost. He's the third time in a row that he's the Republican nominee for president. And that you had people like Tim Walz, from Congress, from Florida, Michael Walz, the congressman from Florida, who's on this task force, which is investigating the July shooting, saying, we need to treat him just like a president because those threat levels. And so, again, there's always weaknesses. There's always opportunities somewhere. And somebody figured out that, hey, he's golfing today. Or he often golfs on Sunday. He's in Florida at Mar-a-Lago. Is there a place we can get near the fence where those particular holes are? I mean, there's always something, and it's hard to protect against, all possible threats.
Yeah, that's true. On that existing committee that's been looking into the July shooting, are they satisfied with what they've heard so far? I mean, we don't seem to have gotten very far down the road, considering the fact that that was a little over 2 months ago, right?
Yeah, and here's what the short answer is: yes, they are very pleased with the fact that they think the Secret Service has stepped up its game, that they are being more transparent with them. Ronald Rowe, who is the acting Secret Service director, came to Capitol Hill the other day, talked to senators, talked to this committee. And the bipartisan responses, especially on the House side, were very favorable. There's probably going to be some sort of report that comes out in the next couple of days from the Secret Service about the July episode. The question I have here is where we stand with going forward. Does this get enrolled somehow into that investigation? Mm-hmm. And Mike Kelly, who is from Butler, Pennsylvania, which is where, former President Trump was shot in July, he has been very careful about putting information out and says there's a lot of rumors out there. There's a lot of stuff that's kind of true, but not really. He said, I am committed to only putting out things. And even when I texted with him yesterday, putting out things that we know 110% are true and that we have it in an ironclad fashion, because that's how all these rumors start. That's how all this innuendo starts. But you know what? You have a certain number of Republicans on Capitol Hill who have just no confidence in the Secret Service or the federal government or even Congress being able to investigate this. This is why Tim Burchett, the Republican from Tennessee, he was on our air last night a couple of hours after the shooting, and he said, I'm going to go the conspiracy theory route on this. He goes, how did the guy know where he was? He said, I just don't have confidence in the Secret Service and the government. And there are many members who feel that way, frankly, especially from the right.
Wow. Well, I guess we'll be paying close attention to that one. Chad, thank you for giving me a few minutes this morning. I appreciate it.
Of course, anytime.
Yes, sir. We'll talk soon. Chad Pergram there, one of the chief Capitol Hill correspondents for Fox News. They've got to get some answers. They've got to drag some people in there and say, how did you let this happen again? Why were there not people walking the perimeter of this golf course while the former president and current nominee was out there golfing? I mean, something that close to roads. If you looked at the map of that golf course, there are roads all along the outside. It's a very crowded area there in West Palm Beach. And I just don't, beyond my understanding, is not somebody who's ever done that for a living, though, how that could have been overlooked. But it clearly was. They got to change something somewhere. All right. It's going to do it for us. Brian Kilmeade up in just a minute. I'm sure they'll have more on the fallout from the shooting attempt of President Trump. And we'll get Annie and Mark in here a little later today. Have a great Monday. I'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.
They have an agent that jumps one hole ahead of time to where the president was at. And he was able to spot this rifle barrel sticking out of the fence and immediately engage that individual, at which time the individual took off.
Yeah, that is the Palm Beach County Sheriff there yesterday talking about that this guy was a lot closer than they would have liked with a rifle like that and a scope on it. Although it's not clear if he got a shot off on the president or not. This will be a big focus among members of Congress this week. We got Chad Pergram up on Capitol Hill for Fox News this morning. Chad, how are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, shocking news yesterday. Number one, historically shocking that we've had two assassination attempts on one candidate in the same political season. I don't know if that's ever happened in recent memory, has it?
Well, you did have something similar with President Ford back in the mid-70s. So there were two attempts in about 17, 18 days with him. So that's an even closer time range here. But the fact that this is happening, with increased frequency, it probably is an attest to the toxic political environment is, the volatility of that particular candidate, and just kind of where we are. And there's been a lot of questions here on Capitol Hill this morning about the Secret Service. House Speaker Mike Johnson was on our air this morning and said, he thinks that they should move the Secret Service out from the Department of Homeland Security. He said, I have no confidence in DHS, and a lot of Republicans don't have confidence in DHS because of the border and a number of things. They impeached Alejandro Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary, back in the winter, the House Republicans did. That might not change anything necessarily. Remember that the Secret Service used to be under the Treasury Department. Now, whether or not you move it back to Treasury or whatever, that all changed after 9/11. They said, we're going to create this new department, Homeland Security, so that we have better connections between agencies and things. It had been there since, the beginning. President Biden just a few minutes ago said that he thought that Congress should respond to what the Secret Service says and what they need. He says that's going to be very important. So, again, they have to fund the government here by the end of the month. Are you going to see increased money for the Secret Service and increased direction about how they handle this particular candidate? That's going to be something to watch.
So, Chad, has that been an issue? I mean, if it is, I'm not aware of it. Has the Secret Service suggested that their budget's been cut or that they don't have the manpower to get the job done?
Not necessarily, but what people have said is that they need to look maybe at former President Trump a little bit differently. He certainly got Secret Service protection as a former president. He got more protection after the attempt on his life in Pennsylvania. He got probably increased protection. There's different, tiers of this once he became officially the Republican nominee. But, we've not had many people who have been, in the modern era who've been like him. Certainly somebody who's running again after they lost. He's the third time in a row that he's the Republican nominee for president. And that you had people like Tim Walz, from Congress, from Florida, Michael Walz, the congressman from Florida, who's on this task force, which is investigating the July shooting, saying, you know, we need to treat him just like a president because those threat levels. And so, again, there's always weaknesses. There's always opportunities somewhere. And somebody figured out that, hey, you know, he's golfing today, or he often golfs on Sunday. He's in Florida at Mar-a-Lago. Is there a place we can get near the fence where those particular holes are? I mean, there's always something, and it's hard to protect against, you know, all possible threats.
Yeah, that's true. On that existing committee that's been looking into the July shooting, have they reached, are they satisfied with what they've heard so far? I mean, we don't seem to have gotten very far down the road, considering the fact that that was a little over 2 months ago, right?
Yeah, and here's what, the short answer is yes. They are very pleased with the fact that they think the Secret Service has stepped up its game, that they are being more transparent with them. Ronald Rowe, who is the acting Secret Service director, came to Capitol Hill the other day, talked to senators, talked to this committee. And the bipartisan responses, especially on the House side, were very favorable. There's probably going to be some sort of report that comes out in the next couple of days from the Secret Service about the July episode. The question I have here is where we stand with what, you know, with, you know, going forward. Does this get enrolled somehow into that investigation? Mm-hmm. And Mike Kelly, who is from Butler, Pennsylvania, which is where, you know, former President Trump was shot in July, he has been very careful about putting information out and says there's a lot of rumors out there. There's a lot of stuff that's kind of true, but not really. He said, I am committed to only putting out things. And even when I texted with him yesterday, putting out things that we know 110% are true and that we have it in an ironclad fashion, because that's how all these rumors start. That's how all this innuendo starts. But you know what? You have a certain number of Republicans on Capitol Hill who have just no confidence in the Secret Service or the federal government or even Congress being able to investigate this. This is why Tim Burchett, the Republican from Tennessee, he was on our air last night a couple of hours after the shooting, and he said, I'm going to go the conspiracy theory route on this. He goes, how did the guy know where he was? He said, I just don't have confidence in the Secret Service and the government. And there are many members who feel that way, frankly, especially from the right.
Wow. Well, I guess we'll be paying close attention to that one. Chad, thank you for giving me a few minutes this morning. I appreciate it.
Of course, anytime.
Yes, sir. We'll talk soon. Chad Pergram there, one of the chief Capitol Hill correspondents for Fox News. They've got to get some answers. They've got to drag some people in there and say, how did you let this happen again? Why were there not people walking the perimeter of this golf course while the former president and current nominee was out there golfing? I mean, something that close to roads, if you looked at the map of that golf course, there are roads all along the outside. It's a very crowded area there in West Palm Beach. And I just beyond my understanding, is not somebody who's ever done that for a living, though, how that could have been overlooked. But it clearly was. They got to change something somewhere. All right. It's going to do it for us. Brian Kilmeade up in just a minute. I'm sure they'll have more on the fallout from the shooting attempt of President Trump. And we'll get Annie and Mark in here a little later today. Have a great Monday. I'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.